setting us free. We're supposed to forgive as Jesus forgave, and Jesus forgave quickly, completely, unconditionally, and in love. That he never made people grovel, feel guilty, or brought up their past. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Now, you think about not judging people and forgiving people. Now, that may seem difficult or hard to you, but you haven't heard the next thing that Jesus wants us to do. He wants us. In fact, forgiving people and not judging them is just setting us up for what he really wants us to do. That is love. And it says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, "Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from your heart." Okay, I need your help here. I need you to tell me, what does it mean to love somebody? Be nice to them. All right, somebody else, want to tell me, what does it mean to love someone? What's that? Oh, thank other people. Somebody else. Oh, yes.
Help other people when they need help.
Help other people when they need help. Love your family. I think that mom and dad, you should get a treat for them. Yes, somebody else. You say save people out of the water? Yes. So if somebody's falling in the water, help them out. That sounds like something the Bible says to do. Somebody else? Yes. Be thankful for everything, yes. Care about people, yes. Anybody else? So I have another question. So we talked about ways we can do that. So how can we show people we love them in a way that they can see it by something we do? Be kind? Something else. What else? Things that we can do to show them. Asking them to be your friends. Can I be your friend? Okay, awesome. We're friends. Okay. He says, you owe me a sucker. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, you?
Save people out of the water.
Save people out of the water. I think we're going to save a lot of people out of the water today. Now, I'll just let you know, those people up there, they weren't drowning. But Pastor Taylor did save them out of the water. Let's thank our kids this morning. You can sit down now. Thanks. They were awesome. So well behaved. When I first thought about doing that, I wondered how it worked that if I asked them to sit there as I was still talking, I didn't know how that was going to work. But man, they were like, "Teachers, you're doing a phenomenal job. I don't know what kind of medication you're giving them." No. No, they didn't. The teacher, you're doing, they were just, wow. Where were you when I had children? Really? Okay. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Two most important things. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love. That word love in our cultures is pretty abused, isn't it? Love my dog. Love my cat. Love my coffee. Love my car. You know, love myself. Pretty abused word. What does it mean? Well, in the Greek, there was actually four words for our one word love. And the word that was used here was the word, to define it, was called agape. Agape was the deepest kind of love, the love from the heart, the mind, the will, the emotions, sincere and deliberate and constant. Notice I didn't say love was a feeling. Love is not a feeling. Feelings follow love. Love should never follow feelings. And so it's something that agape love was unconditional. No strings attached. It never says, I will love you if. It has no limits. It never runs out. From time to time, I have a friend who owned a gravel pit, and so I would go there, and he allowed me to take my kids there fishing. And as I was taking my kids there fishing, I noticed that he had a massive, huge, I think it was a 100-gallon water truck. And he would go in there, and he'd fill the truck up, and then he would sell the water in the spring to help people fill up their pools. And then he'd also use some water in the spring of the year or later on in the year when they're fixing the gravel roads. They'd be very dusty. And so he would sell the water to the township so they could water the roads to keep the dust down. And he'd come in there day, truck after truck after truck after truck. Thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons. He would pull out of this gravel pit that was full of water. And never once did ever notice it drop an inch. It seemed like that water was limitless. That's what agape loves. No matter how much it loves, it keeps on loving. It never stops loving. It loves when others hate, cares when others condemns, accepts when others reject, encourages when others put down. Yet love, even when it hurts. So I want you to turn to the person beside you and say, I love you so much, it hurts. Sometimes I'm just hurting in it when I'm trying to love. Isn't that true? Agape love. Very interesting, because we're trying in our understanding, because probably we don't experience that on a daily basis. were young, we had a pretty healthy appetite. And so at nighttime before bed, we would go to the toaster, get some bread, put it in the toaster, and we'd make peanut butter sandwiches every night. My mom tells a story, and I think it's maybe a little exaggerated. She said our arms were lined up with bread on both sides, go downstairs to get our midnight or our night snack before we went to bed. So one day I'm sitting there in front of the toaster. I'm waiting for my toast to pop up, and it pops up, and my brother said, "That's my toast." I said, "No, that was my toast." He goes, No, "That's my toast." I said, "Listen, buddy, it's my toast," and I took the toast. He turned around to me and put his fist up, forgetting he had a knife in it, and stuck it up my nose. Accidentally, he said. I mean, he still holds to that story. Blood everywhere. Often when my brother and I had confrontation, there was a little bit of blood that flew here and there. We were very physical in our expression of love for one another. But you know something? Even though we had confrontations with each other, nobody could come between us. If anybody tried to go after the other one, my brother was there. If anybody tried to go after him, I was there. See, sometimes in the family, in the Broadway family, or in the family of God, we may have disagreements or misunderstandings and frustrations. We may lock horns, but we're family. And the love we have for one another doesn't let anything or anybody come between us. Even though sometimes we have to agree to disagree. There was these two high school students that had dated for a little while, and the one night as the guy is walking the girl home, they get onto the porch, he decides he's going to make his move and kiss her for the first time. So he goes up there and he gets on the porch and they're standing there and he says, "Can I kiss you?" And the girl just looks at him and smiles and says nothing. Anybody knows guys, they're not really good with silence or hints. And so he stands there for a minute, confused, not knowing what to do. He thinks, "Oh, I know what I did. It was bad grammar." So he says to her, "May I kiss you?" The girl looks at him, smiles on her face, closes her eyes, and says nothing. The guy, completely confused, not knowing what to do, says, "Are you deaf?" The girl opens her eyes and says, "No, are you paralyzed?" When a couple first gets together, they have this experience where they're overlooking the things and that the little imperfections and the things that maybe that are wrong, or they just don't even notice them. See, that's what agape love is like. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." Is that saying that when I love somebody, I help cover up sin? That I help them get away with doing wrong? No, it's not like that. Love actually confronts somebody that's sinning. Confronts them in love because it wants them to turn from that. See, love covers a multitude of sins. It's like this. We don't repeat that sin to others. We don't hold it against them. In fact, we leave the past in the past. We treat them like it never happened. That's what it's talking about, love covering the multitude of sins. just got to do things sometimes. And so if there's nothing else to do, I'll just find something to do. And so I'm out in the garden. I'm saying, I'm going to help Chris this year. I'm going to help her weed the garden for the spring and get it all set up for what she wants to do. And I'm out there, and I got bags of weeds. I'm putting it in here. I'm saying, wow, this thing is, what a weedy garden. I'm just stuffing the stuff and stuff in there. And I said, Chris, come look at the garden. All the weeds. He goes, what happened to my plants? I guess there was some kind of grassy plant thing that she put in there that I thought were weeds. I dug every one of them out. Okay. So, how do we get a good garden? We got to pull out the weeds. We got to water the seeds. So, how do you have agape love in your life? You got to pull out the weeds. You got to pull out the weeds of envy, pride, selfishness, anger. What are things like patience, kindness, truth, and hope? It may seem overwhelming. Maybe you look in your own life and you say, wow, I cut so many weeds in here. The whole garden looks like a weed. Keep it simple. Pull one weed out at a time. Don't try to clean up your life in a day and do it all at once. Pull one weed at a time. Pull it a weed. If you struggle with anger, work on the anger. So you're working on the anger, water patience. So you're pulling the weed, planting the seed. It may take a while, but eventually what's going to happen is this, your heart's going to be more filled with agape love. Love that's unforgiving. Love that's not going to hold anything against anyone. That's unconditional towards other people. See, I don't know what your experience is, but mine is that people always aren't lovable. Ever met anybody like that? Are you sitting beside a person like that? Are you the person like that? Okay, let's not go any further. Okay. In the movie, The First Knight, King Arthur says to Lancelot, Lancelot turns to him, if you really knew me, you wouldn't say I'm a good man. And King Arthur says to him, he says, I can't love people in slices. I take the bad with the good. There's no such thing as perfect people. There's no such thing as people that never done anything wrong. Jesus' call for us is not just to love lovable people. Not just to love people that are easy to love, but to love those who are difficult to love. See, loving each other isn't just a good idea. It's not even just a suggestion. It's a command of God.